My sermon today is Confident Christianity. Confident Christianity, and that's what we're going to be talking about. It's actually in continuation in Colossians, and we're actually going to be talking in Colossians chapter 2. And so if you want to turn there in Colossians chapter 2 and get ready, you may do so. And I'll be starting in verses 1 through 3 here in just a minute. And while you're turning to Colossians, I just want to give you a few really encouraging statistics this morning as I introduce this. And this is a tough way to start a sermon. I really maybe ought to think twice about how I start these sometimes. But did you know, here I go, did you know 130 people are killed by falling out of bed every year? I'm serious. 130 people, I don't know where they get these statistics, but I found them, and so I thought I would share them with you because I'm talking about confident Christianity, and I want to just say, how many people get in their bed every night with full confidence they're going to have a good night's sleep, right? And 130 people are killed falling out of bed. 16,000 per year are injured in the shower. In the shower. So we confidently get in the shower, and we didn't know it was such a dangerous place, did we? 23% of accidents happen within a mile of our homes. I see Maggie shaking her head because Maggie was in the insurance industry for a long time, so I'm right on that, aren't I? It happens a lot. Here's a strange one. Over 2,000 people per year are injured pulling frozen food apart. Think about that. You know, like these doggone frozen peas. Oh, there we go. And that kind of thing. But there's over 2,000. And like I said, I don't know where they get these statistics, but they do. 5,000 per year, 5,000 per year die to foodborne illnesses. Now, I know that when it's time to eat, we confidently stuff our faces, don't we? And we don't think about that. 76 million food poisonings per year. There's 76 million food poisonings per year in the world, I believe that is. And here's one that I experienced this last Friday. There's 80,000 mowing accidents per year. 80,000 mowing accidents per year. It's a small thing. I just cut my hand a little bit. And it really wasn't a mowing accident. It was because a doggone mower just won't work. And I tried to fix it, and I'm not a mechanic. So anyway, I don't know if I fall into that category or not. And also, not out of that 80,000, a lot of the people are actually injured every year working in their yards. How many people like to work in your yard? You didn't know it was so dangerous, did you? And for every 100, here's one that maybe will keep you from going to work. For every 100,000 employees, 4 will die in work-related accidents. Four people out of 100,000 people. So here's what I want to say, and why am I sharing these kind of things? We confidently go to bed every night, don't we? We confidently go to bed every night. We confidently take showers. At least I hope we do. It's a good idea anyway. We confidently drive to and from our homes, and we confidently pull frozen food apart when it's stuck without worry of injury. And we eat regularly despite the risks. I imagine everybody after we get out of church today, we'll go get something to eat, right? Yeah, amen. It's like, I think they were taking bets in the bathroom just a little bit ago about, I said I was hungry, so they were taking bets on whether it would be a short sermon or not today. I told them I could be bought. And of course, how many of us confidently go to work and not thinking about those kind of things? But here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say is, do you know that out of all these confident things that we do, you know how many people don't really confidently put their trust in God's Word? We'll confidently put our trust in all of these things and thinking it's a guaranteed thing, but really the most guaranteed thing, the most sure thing in the world, God's Word. And we see more people are not confident to trust God at His Word. And what I want to say is one of the things that happens in the book of Colossians is Paul is talking to the people at this particular church, and he's talking to them about the fact that there's false teachers that are coming in. There's false thought that is coming in. And those things actually are the things that actually destroys a confident, serving Christian. Did you know that? And I'm going to talk about that today, and I'm going to be talking about these scary things that I'm sharing here today. But to start off in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, take a look at it if you will, please. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea as well, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, what I want you to see here as I close this introduction and get ready to go into the sermon is look in verse 3. Paul says that the mysteries of God, the Father, and of Christ, you see that there? He says the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found there. The treasure of wisdom and knowledge of the Father, the Son, and all of those things. And so what I want to say is if the Word of God, there's treasures there. There's treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God. There's things in the Word of God that we should confidently approach and actually ingest into our souls. Amen? And we see Paul saying this, and he's saying there's really valuable things there. And yet we see so many people that aren't very confident about wanting to get into God's Word. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They want to stay away from it, and it's the most sure thing that there is, like I was saying. And so this is actually pretty significant. When we look at this, we see that this is very significant because the fact that if we put our confidence in God's Word, it can make some very, very strong changes in our lives and actually help us to live our lives as a Christian very confidently. You know, how many times have we seen somebody like we say, man, so-and-so really seems to be serving God very well. They seem to be a really strong Christian, we say, and those things. And what I want to say is they get their confidence not from because of some kind of superpower that they have in themselves, but it comes from the wisdom that comes from God's Word. That's what it is. And so that's it there for every one of us. There's treasures there that we see. And what I want to say is this is one of the reasons why we, at our church and at every church, starting with our kids, when we look at our kids and our Sunday school lessons and those things, it's so important that our kids learn the Word of God. I mean, maybe you're thinking, what is really the purpose of making sure that young families come to church? Well, one of the reasons why it's important for young families to come to church is because their kids need to be in the Word of God. It's going to be the thing that God uses to instill the confidence that we want them to have as they go into a world that there's a lot of things that are going to try to steal that confidence from them. And so we want a strong children's ministry, don't we? And we want a strong youth ministry. But not only that, we want a strong ministry for all of us. Because I want you to know something. It's not just that the devil's out there to try to get our kids, but he's out there to get every Christian out there also. And if we don't ingest the Word of God and we don't get the confidence that we get from being in God's Word, we actually run into some problems, and that's what we'll be looking at, and that's what Paul will be talking about this morning in Colossians chapter 2. I dare anybody sitting in here today, I dare anybody that hears my voice to try to go to a higher place than God Himself for wisdom and understanding. I dare them to try. It's just not there, and yet we see people that aren't willing to place their confidence in God's Word. They want to place their confidence in the things of man and those things. And so the first point that I have this morning is I want to talk to you about how we have spiritual progress and the necessity for spiritual progress. That'll be the first thing that we talk about. Now, in our Sunday night discipleship program that we've been doing, one of the things that we've been talking about is we've been using terms like a spiritual infant, and then a spiritual child, and then a spiritual young adult, and then a spiritual adult. And we've been using those terms in our discipleship program, and the point is to let everybody know that even though we might be the most mature fleshly person, we could be the most immature in our growth as far as a Christian's concerned. And what I want to do is I want to challenge all of us is not to stay if we're newly born again. We don't want to stay as a spiritual infant. We don't want to stay as a spiritual child. Who wants to stay a child, right? I know, all of us say, man, if I could just go back in time and everything like that. But I got to tell you, if I was to go back in time, I don't think I'd go back to teenagehood or anything like that. I don't think it would be worth it, really. I might want to be younger than I am now, but, you know, we don't get to do that, do we? But what I do want to tell you is we need to grow spiritually. Every one of us need to get to the point where we are spiritual adults. We are mature adults. And that comes from being in the Word of God each and every day in every part of our lives. That means that our Sunday school lessons mean something. Coming to our Sunday school classes makes a big difference in our lives. That means that our time in the Word of God, our time that we have each and every day, is so very important. And you will hear this today in the verses that we look at, why it's so important. But I just want to say this, that we want to grow. That's what we want to do. We want to make spiritual progress. Look at verse 4 as we continue in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul goes on and says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Now I want you to pay attention to some of the phrases that he's using here. And the first one is beguiling us with enticing words. Paul is warning the church at Colossae to be careful with the people that will come in. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people out of church, by the way. And he's saying, I'm warning you that there's people that are going to beguile you with enticing words. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." See, there's some more terms, the order and the steadfastness. He's saying to them, it's important that there's the order and the steadfastness in your walk. He's saying it's important that we walk in Christ. If we're walking in Christ, brothers and sisters, we're talking about something that is ongoing every day, constantly. And then he goes on and says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, I want to stop there for just a moment, and I want to park here, and I want to just talk about some of these terms that he's sharing in verses 4 through 7. The first one is beguiling with enticing words. He's saying to be careful of the people that beguile with enticing words. He's saying basically that we don't want to fall victim to some of the stinking thinking that is taking place out there. It's important that we don't fall victim to some of the things that are going out there. We need to accept God's Word and let God's Word speak to us and let it make the changes in us. And I want to tell you something. This is a really important statement for all of us to hear right now. This is for me. This is for all of us. We need to stay in God's Word. There is no such thing of somebody getting to the point where they don't need to continue to study God's Word and they don't need to continue to let God's Word make changes in their lives. There's nobody sitting in here that can get to the point where something that could beguile you, you're immune to that. What makes us immune to that is our constant feeding on the Word of God. That's important. I hope everybody hears that, because maybe you think, man, I've been a Christian for 30, 40 years or longer. And I'm just going to tell you that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's too many things. There's too many voices out there. There's too many beguiling voices out there, Paul is saying, that can lead people astray. And that's what he's warning them about. He's saying to put your confidence in God and His Word. And this is a challenge for all of us. We like to come to church, that's for sure, but it's not just coming to church, brothers and sisters. It's being in His Word and growing. Here's another one that he says. He looks at the fact that he takes joy in their order and their steadfastness, in their order. Order is actually a military term. It's a military term that's saying that there is a method to their madness, so to speak. He's saying they weren't just going haphazardly about their Christianity, but as a Christian, he's saying to them that we need to have a systematic way to go about our growth. A systematic way about going about our growth. It's not just enough just to have a church on Sunday. There needs to be a systematic approach for every person to grow in God's Word. And do you see it? Steadfastness. Steadfastness. If I'm steadfast, if you're steadfast, that means that it's something that we do ongoing, as far as that's concerned. And then the next term that you see is walking in Him. I want us to stop and think about that for a moment. When we look at this here, it says that it's important that we walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. Here's what I want to say. is when you were born again, whenever we were born again, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that He died on the cross, shed His blood to pay for our sins. Amen? And then we know that He rose again. And so we said, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I know that You died to pay for my sins. And I want to put my trust in You. And I want to give You my life. And I know that You're alive now. And that You have the ability to overcome death. And You have the ability to save me also. Right? And when we said those things, and whenever we were saved, we put our trust in Him. In other words, we put our confidence in Him, didn't we? And when we put our confidence in Him, then we get questions like, well, when you asked Jesus Christ to save you, did He do it? And we say, yes, He did. And we say, how do you know? Because He's true to His word. Do you hear me? Because He's true to His word. And so when we look at this here, and we talk about walking with Him, this is what I want you to get from this particular statement. This is important. We, just as we put our confidence in Him for our salvation, we are to put our confidence in Him every day through what His Word says. Now, I just want to tell you, if you're not in God's Word and you're not growing as a Christian and there's not an impetus happening that's making you grow as far as our Christian life is concerned, then we're really not walking with Him. And a walk with Christ means that we're putting our trust in Him. It's more important than anything that we do. And that's what Paul is saying. A walk with Christ means that we're busy and active every day with Him. And he said it's important for us to do this, and he uses the term rooted like a tree. Rooted like a tree. Now, Warren Wiersbe actually says, this doesn't mean rooted like a tumbleweed. Okay? We don't want to be rooted like a tumbleweed. We all know here in West Texas what this means. And when I saw this, I thought, man, that's it. That's it for sure. We want to be rooted like a tree next to a river that's ever going. Our roots running deep down into the Word of God and our service to God. That is so important for our success and our confidence as a Christian. Now, the title of today's sermon is Confident Christianity. And a lot of people go around going, man, I don't feel like me and God were just really cooking with gas and our relationship with each other and that kind of thing. And I want to tell you that's always on us if we're not doing well. We can walk confidently with God when we spend time in His Word. We walk with Him and let His Word tell us how to go about things. Remember, there's wisdom and understanding about Christ and the Father in the Word of God. We actually get some knowledge. And I'm not saying we get like extra knowledge that, you know, are new revelations. What I'm trying to say is we actually get the mind of God actually sharing things with us from His Word as we walk with Him. These are advantages that we have as a Christian that somebody that isn't born again doesn't have. And I don't mean that like in a bragging way, and I know I say that a lot, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is that we can confidently live our lives each and every day. We can confidently raise our children. We can confidently approach having a godly church if we will abide in God's Word. Put in your notes, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. One of the things that was said to me this week is a lot of times when I give scripture references that I don't give people enough time to get there. So, here we are. I'm pausing just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, 13 and 14, for those that want to look at that with me. I will be returning to Colossians chapter 2, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 says this. Until we all, and this is talking to a church, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to mature Christianhood, the idea behind what we do in church as far as our Sunday school is concerned, and as far as our discipleship programs are concerned, and as far as what we give each and every person and each and every family to take home with them in the Word of God, is the idea is all of us coming together, growing up. We're going from spiritual infants to spiritual children to spiritual young adults to spiritual adulthood. That's the challenge for every person in a church, not just some. I know that we say, man, so-and-so is a spiritual dynamo. God wants us all to be that, and we all can be that through Jesus Christ and His power and through adhering to His Word. We're to mature, every last one of us. You say, why are we supposed to do this where we can go around and show how much we know about the Bible? No. What I want you to hear is this actually will keep us from being beguiled by some strange thinking out there. We see it happening, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. But he says we all are to reach maturity as a Christian, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Now see, even Paul uses this term here. He's saying that we are not to stay children as a Christian. We're not supposed to stay there. This is an important thing for every person to understand. We don't want to stay children. Why? He says, because if we're a child, we're tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. There he's saying it again, just like he says in Colossians. If we don't grow, then we don't know half of the information that we're getting, whether it's from God or whether it's from a bad source. And a bad source of information will derail our Christianity. It will keep us from living a confident Christian life. You see so many people out there today that say that they're Christians, but they have no idea what God's doing, or where, you know, what God's doing in their lives, and they're not even sure that God's even working in their lives. But when God's working in our lives, we can live each and every day in a confident manner. Amen? And so, another thing that I want you to notice, going back to Colossians chapter 2 and looking at 4 through 7, is he talks about abounding thankfully every day. Abounding thankfully every day. Abounding. Now, think about that word abounding for a moment. Abounding means big time, full. I mean, it's a full basket. It is overflowing. We're to be overflowing with God, the wisdom that is coming from God. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you that living in the world that we live in today politically, and we talk about how strange it is, don't you want to live confidently in Jesus and not be worried about what's going on around us? Don't you? And I just want to tell you that we can do this. We can abound with thanksgiving, being thankful to God and His wisdom that He's giving us. My challenge for each and every one of us today is to be confident in our walk with Jesus Christ and abounding in it, because we are actually rooted like a tree into God's Word and into the purposes that God gives us and the knowledge that we get from Him. That leads to my second point today, and that is this, is we want to talk about the elimination of stinking thinking. The elimination of stinking thinking. And so let's talk about the elimination of stinking thinking today. Do you know something? Listen to this. Did you know that most people that actually get into a cultish situation, like into a cultish religion, or did you know that a lot of people that even are deconstructing? One of the things that we're hearing these days is, I'm deconstructing. I'm getting away from what my parents taught me in church and all that kind of thing. I'm going to find out what I think on my own. And we're seeing these things here. And I just want you to know that the people that are deconstructing and the people that are getting away from God's Word and those kind of things, they actually, this is occurring in their lives because of the fact that they never really got confident in God's Word. Did you hear me? They never got confident in God's Word. They never got past the point of maybe, possibly, even spiritual infancy. Those particular religious systems that are false religious systems are not growing as a result of their dynamics. They are preying upon people that have been sitting in churches like what we're doing right now. Did you know that? They are. And that means that something's happening in our churches that we're not doing something right. And it's going on into our homes and those kind of things. And I know we don't like to hear that, but that's a fact. I mean, we talk about these days how we're losing the younger generation. Well, one of the things that's happening is that we're losing the younger generation is we're so busy doing religious things and not really getting grounded into the Word of God and being church the way that the Bible tells us it's supposed to be. And that's one of the things that's happening as far as that's concerned. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Do you see that? He's warning people that are sitting in a church to beware of things that will spoil them through what? Philosophy and vain deceit. Well, we know about that in our world today, don't we? And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so what I want you to see here is false thought is on the prowl for people that aren't developed in God's Word. False thought is actually on the prowl. And what I will say is, maybe even for the uneducated, but I don't mean it to sound so rough, but what I want to say is there's so many people that think that they're really smart and they think they're really getting the things of God, but they've really never gotten down into where it's gone from something that they just heard in Sunday school to where it was something that was actually feeding their soul. Now, I hope you see what I mean by the difference of it. There's a big difference between ingesting the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. And so we've seen a lot of people grow up in church. I've gone to church since I was 5 years old. I have. And I just got to tell you, there were some of the things out of here, and I go, blah, 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 there's the preacher saying it again. He keeps saying the same old thing week in and week out. Well, what needed to happen is maybe I needed to let God's Word speak to my soul instead of sitting there thinking I was too smart for it, which was really showing how dumb I really was as far as that's concerned. And so what I want to say is a Christian home is a good thing. A Christian home is a good thing. A Christian school is a good thing. Going to church is a good thing. All of these things are good things, but they are not guarantees that it's going to reach the soul of a person. You know, we like to think, well, if I just listen to Christian music and if I just go to a Christian school and if I just do home education and those things, that will be a guarantee for my kids and that will be a guarantee for our homes. No, that's the idea behind that is that it's a good thing as far as us at least being centered on God's Word. But the other part of it is the people that we're trying to reach, they've got to be born again. But not then just born again, but then we need to concentrate on it actually feeding our souls. It's not just enough to say, okay, I know a little bit about the Bible. You're supposed to take what the Bible tells you. I'm supposed to do what the Bible tells me and let it change me. I'm not just supposed to know about it. I'm supposed to obey it. And when we obey it, that means that we're actually feeding off of it. And that's the big difference. And so I will just say, false thought is on the prowl these days. You know, notice that they're warned about spoilage through philosophy and deceit. There's a lot of philosophy out there. There's a lot of it going on out there as far as that's concerned, but it's not internalized. Some of the ways that we see this happening is maybe it's something that we hear on TV. Maybe it's a professor. We get a lot of our students that get into college and there's some professor saying some kind of philosophy or something like that. Maybe it comes from one of their friends. There's no telling where it comes from. The only sure thing that we can do is to make sure it comes from God's Word. And that will keep us from actually being spoiled. You remember the song on Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition. Remember that? Tradition. Remember? How many people remember that particular song in Fiddler on the Roof? How many people are like, I've never even seen the thing, as far as that's concerned? But I want you to know that when it talks about the rudiments of the world, some of the rudiments of the world are actually our traditions. I was raised in church. This is the way that we did it. And I just want to say that we don't want to do it if it's not in God's Word. It may be tradition, and it may have made us feel good, but it needs to be something that the Holy Spirit is a part of. And the Holy Spirit works through God's Word and internalizes it and gets down into our soul and gets down into the inner part of it. And that's the important thing. You say, well, I wish that we could somehow get everybody to understand that. Me too. But I am talking to a group of people today that Paul is warning through his Word that says, don't just hear it. but let it get down into your soul and let it change you. And don't stop. Because if you do, the possibility of actually becoming a victim of some really vain philosophy and some stinking thinking as far as that's concerned. And that's what he's saying there. And maybe some of our traditions are the things that feed those things. And we want to be careful of that. We need to make sure that we're avoiding that. Maybe we've got some friends out there. Maybe we got some friends out there that they're way off base. And the way that they think is not coming from God's word whatsoever. Maybe we've got somebody out there that says that they're a Christian on the radio, or says that they're a Christian on the TV, but they're not teaching God's word properly, and we're listening to that kind of stuff, and it's messing us up. Maybe we've got some people that are getting some of the things that are coming from New Age thinking. And the word New Age, by the way, always cracks me up. Man, there's nothing older than New Age. It's actually coming from old Buddhistic thinking. And speaking of Buddhistic thinking, maybe we're innocently getting into yoga poses and opening ourselves up to things. And I know that was a dangerous statement, but seriously, we are subjecting ourselves to some really strange things these days. Maybe it comes from a fun little game of occultism or something like that. Did you know I put it on Facebook the other day, and it's always amazing to me. I can put on Facebook about how great the Razorbacks did, and I'll get all kinds of people go, woohoo, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I put something out there about what the Disney Channel was actually doing in some places about a demon-possessed kid. And one or two people go, wow. And the rest of people are like, man, I'm staying away from that. You know why? Because we're filling our homes with that kind of stuff. And we're filling our lives with that kind of stuff. And we're doing it, and we don't want anybody to tell us to stay away from it. But that's what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 2. He's saying, be careful what you're bringing in, because it will keep you from confidently serving Christ. It will derail you. You know, what we see happening is a little Bible plus a lot of other things. But I just want to tell you that he's saying we don't need just a little Bible and a lot of other things. We need a lot of Bible and a lot less of the other things. That's what he's saying. When he uses terms like spoiling. Anybody go into their refrigerator and go, man, that's spoiled. I think I'll eat some of that. If you do, you're one of the statistics that I shared earlier. Okay? Just saying. But in some versions, it doesn't use spoiling. In some versions of the Bible, it says cheating. Or in some versions, it uses the term taking captive. It spoils us. It cheats us. It takes us captive. Some of the stinking thinking out there is destroying what's happening. And we've really got to know God's Word and center in on it. And listen, I know that this is not what's happening with most people that we're around. I know that it's not happening with a lot of our kids in school. There was a lady the other day that was talking about the fact that her kid got sent to the principal's office because her child was actually sharing Jesus with another child. And so she got sent to the principal's office. My response was, well, good. I hope she goes to the principal's office every stinking day. Because that's what those other kids need to prevent them from actually going off the rails and actually being confidently serving Jesus. We need to hear it, and we need to be bold about it, and we need to know what we're talking about. We need to know what's going on. You know, when we look at this here, Paul is saying something really important. Now get this, he's saying basically that we don't need anything else. He said, no, come on, Pastor, anything else? God's not everywhere, is he? He's not involved in everything, is he? And I just want to tell you that he is. You want to talk about knowledge? God knows, like nobody knows. You want to talk about science? Don't talk to me about science without going to the Word of God first. Is the Word of God a science textbook? No. God doesn't need to teach us. All we need to do is tie into God, and He will reveal things to us as far as that's concerned. God can provide. God can provide a job for us. You say, God can provide a job for us, so will God do my interview? God will help you with your interview. God will protect you from making a bad decision and going to an employer that you shouldn't go to. God can help you go to a place. God is the center of our lives, and when He is, then we can walk confidently. And I just got to tell you, you say, well, I just got to tell you, since I started just letting God be in control of my life, things have been going in the right direction. You say, in the right direction, so you're a pastor of a small little church, really impressive. I don't care if it's impressive. What I do care about is that I'm doing what God's telling me to do, and I want to tell you the peace that it brings. Amen? And I got to tell you, when I die, I know where I'm going. And so we can be complete in Him. We can actually be complete in Him. He can be a part of everything that we do. Now let's go back to Ephesians, and I'm going to ask you to go back to Ephesians. And I probably should have told you that we'll flip back and forth between Colossians and Ephesians. But my next verse that I want to read to you is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And actually, to be really honest with you, as I read Colossians and as I read Ephesians, it really, Paul kind of covers a lot of the same themes. But that's okay. Isn't that what context is? We want it to agree with the rest of the Bible. If we're saying it says it here, it should agree elsewhere, right? So let's look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. In Ephesians 3, 14, the Word of God says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." There's the part of the conversation that we've really got to think about, that inner being. Our soul, this part of us that's been made righteous through salvation. We worry so much about what our flesh is getting and those kind of things. And that's where a lot of the bad information is coming in, is into our flesh. But our soul, when it's been made alive, is designed for God to actually come in there. And then, because God's Word is actually coming into our inner being, because that's happening, then we start getting information from God that counteracts that information that we're getting from our flesh, that's coming from the rudiments of the world. And they compete. And as we study God's Word and we stay true to God's Word and stay true to God and walk with Him, we realize there's alternate points of view. And we get to choose the right one instead of the wrong one. And therefore we walk confidently. Does that make sense? And so he goes on and says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, confidence in Jesus, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, look at it, being rooted, there it is again, rooted, not like a tumbleweed, but like a tree planted by the waters, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, height, and depth. In other words, God can give us the information that we need to get through this thing more than anything else out there. More than any other philosophy or anything. That's why Paul says in Colossians, complete. And people go, I'm not going to put my confidence in that. And yet they'll put their confidence in getting in an airplane. Or they'll put their confidence in Lord knows what. But something true The creator of the entire universe, the one that makes sure that we live with Him for eternity. We're not going to listen to Him? That's crazy. That's what that is. That we might know the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Everything that we need to get through this life as a fallen creature that actually has been restored through salvation. And we need to tie into that. Now listen, I love this verse, and I read it a lot, and I'm going to read it again, and I'll probably do it again next week, or Lord knows how many more times I'll be able to say it. But in verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." In other words, when we're walking with Jesus, we've got more ability to get a grasp on everything confidently than in any other way. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, I'm just about done. What I want you to see here is first, number one, we need to be born again. Amen? And I want to say that if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, that He wants to change your life. He paved the way for you to be able to have eternal life. But it starts at salvation, but it doesn't just stop at salvation. Then we feed our souls. Once we become born again, then we feed our souls. And when we do that, we walk confidently each and every day with Christ. Despite what goes on around us. I don't know. I come to church every once in a while, maybe I do Sunday school and that kind of thing, but I don't really do anything past that. And I just got to say, why not? Don't you want the confidence of God working in your life? You say, just going to church? I thought you said just going to church doesn't do it. It doesn't. But the feeding from God's Word does. The feeding of God's Word does, as far as that's concerned. So first, salvation, and then continual nutrition. Continual nutrition. Maybe you're sitting here today and you go, yeah, okay, I've been born into this world. Well, I got a question for you. You've been born into this world. Will you eat today? Will you have anything to eat today since you're alive? No, I'm not going to eat today or never again. Right? It's not happening. But how many of us are born into the spiritual world and then we don't ever eat again? And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So first salvation, then continual nutrition. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about Jesus and then some experiences. What do I mean by that? So many people think, well, I'm saved, so now I get my Jesus whoopee cushion out and get little tingly feelings up and down my spine all the time and these kind of things. I just want to tell you it's deeper than that. It's not just about, whoo, I'm excited. Now, I will admit, sometimes I read the Word of God and I get really excited. How about you? We all do. But that's not the idea. The idea of us being a Christian is not where we can have some kind of experience. It's where we can actually be transformed. It's a big difference. You can get excited in church by something that you hear, then go out and do the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life when you walk out of the church. Can't you? Haven't we? Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, and I'll add sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the Word of God. This is going to require faith. It's going to require faith for you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because that means you are now belonging to God. Ooh, that's scary. No, that's the smartest thing we will ever do. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. That's how we worship. I don't come to church to get my Jesus on and then go out there and do something else. I come to church as spiritual worship. I wake up every day as spiritual worship. I go to work as spiritual worship. Everything that I do is to be spiritual worship. How come? Because Paul says to be a living sacrifice. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind. Getting those vain philosophies and those rudiments of the world out of the way is what he's saying. And inputting what God says, and let it change us. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I don't know what the will of God is. Well, there's how you find out what God's will is. I've seen people write books, how to determine God's will in your life. And so I read a book to know how to do that? Well, what it says here is if I will make my life a living sacrifice and let God's Word change me, I will know God's will. Say, are you sure? I dare you to try. That's why, and we talked so much about in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, and you can put that in your notes. I'm not gonna read it again, but it talks about add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance, and it tells us to grow, right? It tells us to grow. That's why. That's why, where we won't get derailed by some stinking thinking that's out there. It's for our protection and our well-being. And as a matter of fact, I will say what Peter does say at the end of all those things about growing and about being transformed. He says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But we've got to listen to what he says. If we practice these things. Now, I don't know about you, but if I practice these things, that means it's ongoing. But if you don't have time for God's word, and you don't have time for God's changes in your life, then you're going to get all the other stuff. You're going to get what the flesh is getting. And the flesh is just hungry for every vain philosophy out there. But our soul is hungry for God's words. And that's what our soul is hungry for. And if we will let those things change us, we will not fall. I didn't say you won't have a bad day. I had a bad day, so I fell? No, I had a bad day, so I needed Jesus. I had a bad week, so I need Jesus. I had a good week. I need Jesus. I need Him all of the time. That's what I need. That's why I'm going to close today, going back to Colossians, and I'm going to ask you to go back to verse 2. Colossians 2:2 says this, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches, listen to this, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Did everybody hear that? I need us to hear this. Reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. And we talked about this mystery, which is Christ. The mystery is solved whenever we are serving Jesus in our lives. The strange world that leads us in all sorts of directions, that is solved when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. This is what everybody in here needs to continue. This is what our kids need. This is what us grown-ups need. Are you a spiritual infant, spiritual young adult, spiritual adult, spiritual child, whatever? What are you? Just be honest with yourself. But if you're a spiritual adult, guess what? You can fall too if you don't continue to go back to the base of God and His knowledge that He gives us in His Word. Let's stand.